Hello, Internet, and welcome to another episode of All My Issues. In this episode, episode 56, we talk about the top or the best movie film remakes. Oh, yes. Sometimes remakes can be controversial. This time around, we're trying to get all the remakes that we mostly kind of like or appreciate. Maybe sometimes they actually improve upon the original. I guess it's up to you to judge whether or not we're right or not. So without further ado, let's get started. And today we are going to talk about some movies, and not just any movies, but these are remakes, the top remakes of popular films
that we like.
That we like, yes.
Sometimes better than the originals.
Sometimes better than the originals. Sometimes maybe on par with the originals. I don't, we don't have any that we dislike.
No, on this list, no.
On this list, okay.
Yeah, this is the ones that were like, oh, this was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Those are the ones I put together. Anyways. Yeah. The ones that I thought were decent. And
I might enjoyable. Have one or two guilty pleasures.
I would agree with that.
Those are my favorite pleasures.
The guilty ones. All right. Well, should we continue with...
tradition.
Yes.
Tradition holds.
Tradition holds.
All right, I guess that makes me. All right, number five.
Number five.
Of remakes that we enjoy. This is a remake of the 1984 classic, which we have talked about on this podcast several times before. 2010's Karate Kid. And I know what you're saying. Seriously, did you seriously put Jaden Smith on this list as redos that were actually good? And I tell you, yes, I do. Karate Kid 2010 starred Jaden Smith as Dre and Jackie Chan as Han. And that's the reason why this is on that list, because Jackie Chan is awesome. I gotta say, Jaden was not bad. This was like his first kind of role by himself that didn't have his dad. So... I thought that it was pretty good. I thought he did a good job acting, and this was maybe the one time that I wasn't too annoyed with him not smiling or always being grumpy all the time like he always is. Every picture you see him in, he's always grumpy and got a frown on his face. Like, dude, you're a multimillionaire by yourself. Like, what do you need to be grumpy about?
He just live off his dad's money.
He don't even have to do that. He can live off his sister's money because she liked to wear her hair back and forth and all that junk. So, but I wanted to highlight the other young child actors in this movie who were labeled the bad guys. The action sequence between Jackie Chan and them fighting in the alley was pretty good. I've got to say, these kids were very talented and. Movie martial arts, and I just thought that, you know, some of the fight sequence and during the tournament were pretty cool. I mean, they were a lot more believable than the 1984 version, even though that is a classic.
Was there a crane kick?
There was not a crane kick, there was a back flip kick down.
Was there a character named Johnny?
There was not, you know what? There was not a character named Johnny.
There was not, so there's no one's effectively sweeping the leg.
But he broke the leg in this one. He didn't sweep the leg. Broke the leg.
Yeah.
You got to make it more edgy, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't have the great soundtrack as the 1984 version, which
was the best
around.
No one is ever going to take you down.
Okay, exactly. Like, talking about Cruel Summer. Even me that here was a, on yeah. my own, it's the cruel.
That was a good cruel. Soundtrack.
It was.
That was a good soundtrack.
So,
was there a Halloween costume as a shower?
There was not a Halloween costume as a shower.
Well, you know.
But there was a lady who was dancing with the cobra on a temple on a mountain. So
that is that like a Cobra Kai reference? Because I can't really speak of this movie because I haven't seen it.
So I have seen it.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
It's not a Cobra Kai reference unless you're just talking about the cobra. But I mean, it's more of more of a maneuver or whatever. But I thought it was pretty good, so that's why I put it on my list to give Jaden the only credit that basically I'm going to probably give him ever. So.
All right. Yeah,
because
has he been in any other
movies? He's been in After Earth. He's.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that. With his dad.
No yeah. Less, right? And I'm trying to remember. Was he in The Pursuit of Happiness? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he's been in some.
That was also with another dad. With his dad.
Yeah. That one was good. But.
Yeah, I heard good things about that one.
Yeah. So that is my number 5.
All right.
My number 5. Is a movie I've actually talked about before, so I'm not going to go into great details about it.
Oh, sure.
But it is a movie from 1995, which is a remake of a short film from 1962 called La Jetée, which is, I believe, based on a short story that I read a long time ago, or at least a one-page synopsis in the ancient, you know, days of the early internet. I read it. And it's a movie that stars Bruce Willis.
Uh-huh.
And Brad Pitt.
Oh!
Madeline Stowe.
Okay.
Directed by Terry Gilliam.
Oh!
12 Monkeys.
12 Monkeys. I was going to say, yeah.
It's, I believe, only loosely based on the original short film about a person who's haunted, I believe, by a death that they see as a child. Which is what that really has in common. They added the fantastical, the time travel. Well, not all the time travel, but they added the virus that's taking out the world and all the other stuff. But it was a fun movie. I like Terry Gilliam's direction. It was one of the first times that I saw a Brad Pitt movie that I absolutely loved Brad Pitt in. All around, it's a good movie.
Very good.
Ironically, it has also been remade into a television show.
I was going to mention that. I thought, yes. Have you seen the television show?
I watched the first 6 episodes, I would say.
Oh, okay. So you got
my wife continued watching long after me. But I think she dropped it as well.
Oh.
It was okay.
It was over.
I don't have a lot of time, so if it doesn't really hook me in the first
six
episodes.
Yeah, there's just so many things episodes, to watch. So. Yeah, let's say you gave it a good shot.
Shot.
Yeah,
that's true. No Iron Fist.
right.
Oh, man.
Which I watched all 13 episodes.
Yes, and I did the same.
And liked, kind of.
There was some okay parts with that. With Iron Fist, but yeah.
That's another podcast.
That is another podcast. I'm sure when the new season comes out, we'll recap and
we'll dig deep
into the Iron Fist. All right. Iron fisted.
That sounds painful.
It does sound painful.
It is painful.
I just hope there is more iron fisting in season 2.
There's more iron fisting in the trailer for Iron Fist
than season there was, 2.
And yeah. Iron Fist season 1.
That is true. I think there's more iron fisting in season 2 of Luke Cage.
And there's a second Red Iron Fist. I mean, there's all kinds of Iron Fists going on in that second.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that. All right. I guess that brings us to my number 5. Mm-hmm. Also a remake. I love the original as well. But this one's kind of just the original was more of like a commentary on society. This one is more fun, more entertaining. And the movie I'm talking about is
Schindler's List.
Ooh,
Whoa!
James Gunn's and Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead from 2004.
Ah.
Yes, yes. I think the moment the movie won me over is when they're trying to escape the mall and they're 18 type created
bus.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. And when they throw that fuel tank or whatever into the zombies, the one zombie's holding it up, you know, so they can shoot it. I know some people complain about that, but yeah, he's holding it up. But just them shooting that tank and watching them all fall down.
Well, that was pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome.
There's a lot of good things going on.
There are. The only thing that's like kind of creepy, I think, is the zombie baby.
Yeah, thing. I could have done without the zombie baby thing.
Yeah. I mean,
I get it. You know, whatever. Yeah. It is what it is, but it seemed almost.
It was a little bit over the top. Like a
and not an, I don't mind over the top gore. It's just that movie seems so ultra stylistic, but at the same time grounded in this is reality type thing.
Yeah,
and I don't know that there's too many people that would be in that situation and react the way they did.
Yeah, I get that too. And I think the rest of the movie too. Even though I mean it is kind of a bleak movie. But it's also has a lot of action and stuff like that. And that just seemed kind of misplaced and kind of changed the tone of the film during that one scene.
It's also fun to watch younger Jack Dunphy from Modern Family.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. When I look back Modern Family and look back on this movie, I was like, wow.
Yeah. Wow. I hadn't even made that connection.
He's mumbling now, but man, he was an a-hole.
Yeah, right, man.
Acting.
Why the face? Why the face? All right. Yeah, so yeah. Dawn of the Dead 2004. I like the original. I don't know if I'd necessarily like this one more than the original. I just like it differently than the original. So this is one of the ones where I'd say it's an equal respect for both. And we both, they're both really good movies to watch, I think.
All right. Number four. All right. This movie, actually, I have to say, has been remade more than once.
Oh.
And at least the three that I've seen were all pretty good. And they're all kind of even with one another for different reasons. And so my number four.
Deep Throat.
No, not Deep Throat. My number four is 2016's The Magnificent Seven. That starred Denzel Washington and Chris Pratt, which was a remake of the 1960 movie of the same name, The Magnificent Seven, which stars Steve McQueen, which was a remake of a movie called Seven Samurais. That was in 1954.
Yeah, Akira Kurosawa.
So a classic movie, Seven Samurais. And so then when it was Americanized, instead of Samurais, they changed it to Cowboys, making it the Magnificent Seven. And then we remake it again. So, like I said, I've seen all three of these movies, and I enjoy all three of them. I thought the most recent one is a lot more funnier. It still has a serious tone, but it also has some comic relief. You know, you got Chris Pratt in it.
100% more Chris Pratt.
100% more Chris Pratt and 100% more Denzel Washington. So, yeah. So, I enjoyed it tremendously.
I haven't seen that movie either. I've been wanting to see it, but it's on my short list to see. But
Denzel Washington, Chris Pratt, Ethan Hawke. I'm trying to remember some of the other people on it.
I just will apologize, but the only one of those versions that I've seen is Seven
Samurai. Well, you saw a good one then.
I think I would have watched the original Seven, but I never did.
Vincent D'Onofrio's
in it. Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio.
Peter Skarsgård.
Which one Skarsgård's is that? Is that it?
No.
Is it Eric Northman?
Or it's Sarsgaard, actually.
Oh.
Peter Sarsgaard. Yeah, oh. Not Skarsgård.
Oh, Parallax.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Parallax.
He's known as Parallax.
Yeah. From now until forever.
So, in case you haven't, you don't really know the story.
There's seven, right? There's seven people.
Would you say that they're okay or better than okay?
Slightly above average.
Of the seven?
Yeah.
Like if you were to describe them with one adjective.
Magnificent. They're magnificent. And so they're defending a town from some bad guys. So it's just seven of them, whether you're watching the 1954, the 1960, or 2016. They're defending a town from ruthless outlaws who are trying to take over the town.
Who's in the middle one?
Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
Charles. He played Death Wish. He was in
Charles Bronson.
Charles Bronson.
I think I saw that one. It's been so long since I've seen that one. I remember kind of liking it, but I can't really.
It was like a long time ago. It came on like TBS or whatever.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Let me see.
No big deal. I might have seen that. Anything else we want to say about
that they're magnificent.
They're magnificent, and there are seven of them.
There are seven of them.
Yeah.
All right.
Very good, very good.
I am going to go with my number four.
Okay.
A movie that is from 2012, remaking a movie from, I don't know, I didn't look it up because it was so bad I didn't even want to be reminded about the actual original movie at all. Both of them based on a comic book character from a British comic book called 2000 AD. And my movie is Dread.
It happens to be like a judge, right? Judge Dredd.
It's only called Dredd in the 2012 version to separate it from Stallone. I am the law.
Yeah.
The terribleness.
I am the law. The thing I didn't like about that one is he wore his mask like for exactly
14 seconds.
Yeah.
Whereas in the remake, I don't know that he ever takes it off.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people had a problem with that in the original one, because I guess in the comic book he never reveals his face. So, and I think you're right. I don't think he ever takes it off. And the new one is a definite
improvement. I thought it was remarkably badass.
I did too.
I was not expecting the level of badassness, and I kind of watched it on a whim.
Yeah.
Not expecting much, and it far exceeded my expectations.
Same here.
Just
and had Cersei in it.
It did.
Yeah.
Lena Headey.
Yeah.
And who else was in that?
Because the guy that plays Dredd is the guy that plays
Carl Urban.
Yeah.
His Bones McCoy. Bones,
yeah. Yep.
He did great.
Oh, he was awesome.
I wish that movie would have made $1 billion so that they would make more.
Same here.
It was just great. They really just took the character, made it a wild and crazy original environment, but then made it one trying to get up 200 floors, you know?
Yeah.
To the top. It was great.
Yeah, it was good. Very good. Good pick.
I don't have much to say other than awesome.
Yeah, I mean, because the story in itself is kind of simplistic in the way that
it is.
That the Mad Max Fury Road is.
Yeah.
Simple goal, but just awesome. I have the same thing going for it. I wish it would make a sequel to that.
They will.
I don't think they will either.
They only made like $40 million or something.
What, the Mad Max?
No, they're making a sequel to that.
Okay.
But the Dredd movie.
Dredd movie, yeah.
Because I ended up watching it on, I don't know how I watched it. I watched it on TV somehow.
I watched it on a free weekend of
something. I think I did the same
HBO
thing.
HBO or something.
Yeah, I think I did that too. I wish I would have known how good it was. I would have probably spent money to go see that.
Yeah.
Help support that film. But...
I think I liked it, Rob Schneider, in the first one. I think that was the thing. It's weird. I was like, he's not a really good actor.
Well, you know, it's been nice doing the podcast with you guys.
No, don't get me wrong. I like Dredd better than Judge Dredd. But I think for some reason, Rob Schneider, he wasn't like terrible.
Like, I don't have anything against Rob Schneider.
Yeah. Like, I am the law. I was like, Rob Schneider kind of helped it a little bit better.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
For me,
I don't know. They took a violent, gritty, realistic comic book character who admittedly I barely read anything from him and turned it into a buddy cop film in the future.
Yeah.
And it just seemed kind of weird.
It seemed like they toned it down quite a bit.
Right. And it's like, Rico!
Yeah.
The robot. They had like cool ideas, like the robot, but it was like, oh, hey, let's just have Rob Schneider just unplug a few cables and take down this gigantic battle robot. Like, come on, seriously.
I saw it in the theater.
I did too. I think I saw it maybe on an HBO free weekend also, where it was just like, I wonder how bad this is. If it's as bad as I remember. And I turned on and it was as bad, if not worse.
Because
it probably didn't age as well as some movies have. But yeah. Yeah, I was introduced to the whole character from Anthrax, from the band Anthrax.
Yeah. For sure, that's the way I first heard of
it. Yeah. I was like, oh, but I never really read the comic book either. I probably know more of Judge Dredd from the Anthrax song "I Am the Law" than from the actual comic book. Yeah, although I have like a Judge Dredd versus Batman or something like that. All right, I guess my number four. We'll go to my number four now.
Yep.
Unless we have anything else to.
Nope.
No. Okay. All right.
By the way, my number one is better than you.
Is it? Oh, probably is. All right. Well, my number four.
And you should see my number two.
I should see your number two.
Not when we're talking about the list, but just in general.
In general.
Wow.
Whoa.
I actually leave the room. I mean, I let Jeff be alone. That's what y'all do.
Oh, man. All right.
I meant poop.
You meant poop? Oh, okay. So you're saying it's a big poop.
It's a king size king number size. Two, which is what I order at every restaurant I go to, every fast food place.
King size number two.
Yeah. My wife hates me.
Again, the opinions expressed by Chris.
When we get to the drive-thru every single time, I'll be like, get a king size number two. I'm not going to. And then she's like, you're going to order it yourself if that's what you want. And, yeah, I'll take a king size number two. I don't know why. It just makes me joyous every single time.
I just wondered on the other end of the intercom, like how they're probably like
yeah. Or else they just don't think it's funny because they heard it like five times.
That's probably true.
That they work there.
Yeah. Supersize that number two. All right. My number four is a remake of a Stephen King novel. And the original was a TV miniseries. And the new one is a standalone film, which is going to have a sequel to kind of finish off the story arc. And that is 2017's It. I like the TV miniseries too, but
I liked it the first time I watched it. Rewatching it's not nearly as good or scary.
Oh, really?
I rewatched it with my
because I don't
at
really
the time, I think 8 year old.
Okay, yeah, because I don't really remember the miniseries being super scary.
But, it's not scary at all.
No, okay, but yeah, the new one I thought was pretty. You know, it's got some scary moments in it. You know.
Well, I mean, what's his face is awesome.
Yeah, the Skarsgård.
The old one.
Tim Curry. Yeah, Tim Curry is awesome.
No, I meant the guy from The Walton.
No, he's scary for a whole other reason.
Of course, you do get young Seth Green in the old one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I liked it all in general. You know, the effects are better, obviously, you know, and yeah, just they really play on them, the character, and do some interesting things with the Pennywise. And Bill Skarsgård is, you know.
Does every one of your picks have someone whose name rhymes with Skarsgård?
It should.
Okay, good.
It should. I didn't intend on that, but it should. Maybe we'll look. I'll have to look through the cast list. We can make this work. Yeah. But yeah, he's Bill Skarsgård is really good in the role, and he's really good in Castle Rock also.
I haven't watched it yet.
It is good. I recommend it. I enjoyed it. It's not sure exactly where they're going to go with it, but it's pretty good.
Okay,
I'm 6 episodes in.
All right,
so that's Mark Bernard's episode.
It is, and the last episode was really good.
Yeah,
I got to give some kudos to Mark Bernard because it was probably my favorite episode thus far.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Cujo. Chiming in.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. Number three. My number three is, it's another Western. I think
You got a Western theme going on.
First I went, you know, to the East with Karate Kid. Now I'm back to the West and the Western theme here. This remake, is the remake for number three is True Grit with Jeff Bridges. It was a remake of the 1969 movie of the same name, True Grit, which starred Mr. John Wayne, the Duke himself. I'm John Wayne. I'm the Duke. Every time I have to say John Wayne's name, I just think of Family Guy. Peter Griffin, when he's like, he starts talking like John Wayne, doing his impression of John Wayne, and everything. I'm John Wayne, I'm the Duke, and it's just now stuck in my head. So now I have.
When you say the Duke, you kind of almost have to say the, you know,
the Duke, yeah,
the Duke, yeah. You can't really.
Hello, partner. I'm John Wayne. So yeah. So I really thought Jeff Bridges did a good job in this movie. I thought the girl, in the movie was excellent. I mean, she scared me. She was really tough. And
Haley Steinfeld?
Yeah.
Or, I don't know how it's
Steinfeld. Steinfeld, I think Steinfeld.
All I know is that she has inappropriate songs now. It's weird.
Oh.
It's just weird hearing someone that you first saw when she was like 10 years old singing songs about
inappropriate
loving themselves.
Oh. Well. Yeah. I remember, just speaking of John Wayne, I can't remember where I heard this from, but I remember hearing that he had like an anal cleansing done, and the amount of meat byproducts that came out of his intestine when they did that was astounding.
Didn't they touch on that Family Guy?
And maybe that could be. I don't know. I remember hearing something about that. I wanted to make sure this wasn't just something I had.
No, because I think they talked about that because they were like, hey, with John Wayne in it. And so he like did a scene and then he ran into the bathroom or something
like 20 pounds of like.
Let's see what you opened up here.
Yeah, yeah. Just
I didn't do the anal cleansing.
All I'm saying is maybe all of us should do some anal cleansing. I'm just saying. It's got to be healthy, right?
Why
I'm
saying 20 pounds.
20 pounds of. That's 20 pounds of like excess stuff that could be flushed out of your body.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, if it's good enough for the Duke.
Maybe that's why they call it taking a Duke.
Taking a Duke.
Hey,
that could be.
I'm just going to go with Public Enemy said about John Wayne. You know.
I don't know.
I know that particular song reference.
Fight the Power.
I don't know all the lyrics to that song. I know the song, but I don't know all the lyrics.
John Wayne's mentioned in that song?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah. How's it go? Hold on. It's F. Elvis and John Wayne.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. We'll find it, kids. We'll bring it up for you.
What did they have against Elvis?
Yeah.
Elvis was, because he stole black music. And he used it on it for himself. So that was quite the power. All right, but that's all I have for True Grit.
Okay. I'm more fond of Bring the Noise.
Bring the Noise, yeah.
Bring the Noise.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Bass.
Yeah. All
right. Elvis was a hero to us.
My number three.
Okay.
John Wayne.
Yes.
Is from 1999.
Okay.
A remake of an older movie.
Okay. older than
1999, right. Which has since been remade into a 2017 movie.
Oh.
All of them vastly different.
Okay.
Mine stars Brendan Fraser.
Oh.
And it's The Mummy.
The Mummy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember being, as a child, so excited to watch the original Mummy because it was going to be on TV and being bored out of my mind.
Yeah, because The Mummy doesn't come till like the end, right?
It was just not scary. And then it was just Boris Karloff looking gaunt.
Yeah.
And, Yeah, there you go.
We've got
advertising.
Yeah.
So as
and,
as
Bor- and Boris go, Karloff's death mask.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So as my Universal movies go, I was not very impressed with The Mummy.
Yeah.
And then the remake was just like a big dumb fun movie.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't, you know.
It was like an action, Oscar, but yeah, it was like an action movie kind of.
It was like a less serious Indiana Jones style movie. It was just desert adventure. And I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed that too.
I did too.
Did you guys see the Tom Cruise?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
I did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry too.
So it's a weird.
It's not thing. Really.
Yeah.
Not really good.
It was the beginning of their.
It was the restart of their dark universe.
Yeah.
Because they tried with Dracula Untold.
Yes. I kind of like Dracula Untold. Which,
could have called Dracula Unsold
because nobody went to see it. This is true. Right. This is like, true. Yeah.
Can't have Dracula as a good guy.
But The Mummy, I think, was the end of the Dark Universe because, it wasn't horrible, but it was weird. It was just a weird thing to do to go that direction with.
Brentford is much better.
Yeah. Because it's more fun and more entertaining.
Just Tom Cruise running.
Well, it's a Tom Cruise movie. They gotta have at least one running sequence in it. Yeah. But
I felt bad because I don't know her name, but the girl that played the mummy.
Yeah.
I liked her in Star Trek.
Oh, yeah. And I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I liked her in Kingsman.
Can you do a spoiler here?
Sure.
Yeah. Like, Tom Cruise ends up becoming the mummy.
Right.
That's what I assumed.
Yeah.
All along.
Yeah.
Based on the trailer, I assume he was becoming the mummy.
Yes. Yeah. It's kind of dumb.
Did you just... I can't believe you spoiled that movie for me. I was looking
so... I know.
So much to see it.
What's going to be his focus? Is he going to be the bad guy? Or is he going to be... I mean, if we're basing it off of Dracula Untold and bring a Dracula and a mummy, and if they brought Frankenstein and the Wolfman together, are they facing something?
They're going to bring them in as a crack. They're going to be like the A-team of monsters, so we're going to have to face off against the evil ones.
Yeah. Like, what would be
like a monster squad?
Print money,
right?
I'm going to write up a license for you right now.
Got the monster squad.
Most importantly, whenever the Wolfman shows up in the Dark Universe, his pants have to be really tight.
Yeah.
Just to prove that he has nards.
Just the pretty Wolfman's got nards. Oh, man. Yeah, because he looked like Tom Cruise looked like some kind of weird, like, mummy hybrid at the end of it.
Yeah.
And I think he's kind of supposed to be a good guy, sort of.
Well, yeah, I mean, Dracula was kind of a good guy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I honestly think they were working towards introducing all of them, and then they were just going to be like the universal monster Avengers.
Yeah.
Right, because he had Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, so it's kind of like...
That was supposed to be next with Russell Crowe, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well, how are you...
The problem I have is when you make these movies in a modern world, then you have to create an alternate universe where the mummy never existed. You have to create an alternate universe where nobody's ever heard of fictional character Dracula, and you have to create an alternate universe where, you know, nobody's... Yeah. What are the chances this man who happens to be named Dr. Jekyll is going to become an evil monster named Hyde? I think they would do better to remake the stories, either set them in the old or else change the names and use the story idea or whatever. But
yeah, I'm not sure why they don't what was that Showtime series that they had?
Penny Dreadful.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I didn't watch it.
Yeah,
I watched a few episodes.
You know why I didn't watch it? Because it seemed very much like the Lee of Extraordinary Gentlemen comic book. To the point where it even had some of the same characters.
It does have some of the same characters, but like tonally, it's totally different.
Than the comic book or the movie? You know, the movie was totally different to the comic book, too. Yeah. So.
But also, the comic book is kind of still different because it's more.
It's a lot darker.
Not even darker
than Mr. Hyde wanting to
assault people. Yeah, I mean, it was just the way it was handled, the stories were a little bit different. Like, they took different takes on some of them. Like, Frankenstein's monster was really interesting, I thought.
I also heard the first two seasons were really good, and the third season was
great. Yeah, you know, I never saw the third season, so I can only... because they ended it. They ended the series, and then I found out that they ended it after season 3, and I never watched season 3, and I'm like, I don't really want to watch season 3 if there's never going to be any kind of closure.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I like what they did with the Wolfman in it, and everything in general. It was just it was good. It was entertaining. I liked it. Liked a lot of the characters they had in it. I wish they would do something like that, maybe more so with the Universal Monsters, like they. They seem to be trying too hard to have, like, all of the characters in one movie, and I don't think they necessarily need to do that.
If they're going to, they need to redo Abbott and Costello.
Yes. Who should they cast as Abbott and Costello?
In my head, I say, it depends, do we want to make it good, or do we want to make it awful?
Both of those could be good, though. I mean, it could be so awful that it's
I'm going to go awful.
Okay.
Adam Sandler and Kevin James.
It's funny because I totally had Kevin James in my head. I didn't have Adam Sandler, but Kevin James was in my head.
Hey, I have Kevin Hart and The Rock.
That's how you make it great.
That's how. Just add The Rock and Kevin Hart. Yep. That works. That's a pretty good formula right there.
That formula has worked so far.
Oh. Or The Rock and Jack Black.
That could also work. Speaking of other Rock and Jack Black movies, you guys see the new Jumanji?
Yes.
I've seen parts of it as my children watch it all the time.
It seems entertaining. It is very entertaining.
It's better than I thought it was
going to
be.
We could keep with the current trend to give it a more female and have it be Kristen Wiig and Melissa
McCarthy. That would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
As long as you don't call it Abbott and Costello, it would keep the hardcore Abbott and Costello friends from taking over the internet and boycotting.
Yeah.
All six of them.
Yeah. There's a legion of Abbott and Costello fans out there, I'm sure. Holly!
Oh my gosh! Did you just Laurel and Hardy them?
I did. Oh my gosh! You're right. I used the wrong duo
again. It's been nice doing this podcast.
Oh, man. I honestly thought he was doing a sniffling Ollie reference when he said Ollie. I was like, sniffling Ollie.
Yeah, I did the wrong duo.
Yeah, you did.
Man,
they're making a Laurel and Hardy movie.
Are they?
Yeah.
Who's gonna be in that?
Why?
That's wow. Like, is it going to be?
It's about them.
It's about them. No, so it's kind of like a,
okay. Like a biopic.
Ah, okay. That could be interesting. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the Robert Downey Jr. doing the
Chaplin.
Chaplin, yeah.
Yeah, it's called Stan and Ollie.
Stan and Ollie, huh?
Sorry, Steve Coogan and John C. Reilly.
Oh.
Walk Hard.
Yeah, yeah.
I just watched Talladega Nights yesterday.
Shake and bake.
Shake and bake. I'm the magic man. Yeah,
that's all I can say. Shake and bake.
The magic man.
I probably enjoyed that movie more than I should have.
That was so great.
That is a crazy movie. All right. Well, I guess we should probably continue.
Yeah. All right.
My third movie is a remake of sorts. It's a remake that of a franchise that has been remade over and over again, I guess. Some movies have been better than others.
Okay.
And the movie I'm talking about is 2005's Batman Begins. At the time when this movie came out, I think, you know, man, people were, you know, they saw like the bat nipples of George Clooney. Okay. People weren't having it.
The Batmaster card.
The Batmaster card. Oh, yes. Yeah,
and just chill.
Yeah, chill out.
Chill out.
Just yeah, just people weren't having it.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Yes, yes. Although I think Arnold was probably the best thing about that movie.
Yes, he was.
I mean, you know, they should have just made a Mr. Freeze movie, just with him in it and him having one-liners throughout it.
I think
they should have put it on ice.
I really can't complain about Uma Thurman in the One Piece, so, I mean...
Yeah, there's just too much stuff going
on. There's too much stuff going on.
Yeah.
Bane!
Yeah, the Bane was horrible. But everything, like, I guess with Batman Begins, you know, Tony took everything...
What was wrong with
Bane? What's wrong with Bane? But with Batman Begins, everything's more seriously taken and stuff like that.
For you.
Painful.
For you.
It is, you know, talking is Bane. You know, this has got to be one of the,
you know. You're Sean Connery Bane?
Yeah, it's like a Sean Connery. Like, yeah, it's a.
I was like, it's Sean Connery. Like, the only thing I can say about the whole Christopher Nolan series. It's like the whole different voices that
was in
that
movie is
just not really that good.
If I had one complaint about the CRISPR, because that, yeah, if I had one complaint about the
Batman.
Ones, yeah.
What's wrong with this?
Yeah. It sounds like he's like physically hurting himself every time he's saying, I'm Batman. He's like, yeah.
My voice reminds me of the pain of my parents' life.
But even with Bane, at certain points in the movie, like, I couldn't understand what you said.
I couldn't hear him.
Yeah.
And I think sound editing or whatever like that, I couldn't hear what he was saying. Like, the explosions would be so loud. And
yeah.
I guess we're going to have to do something. I thought I broke you.
What? I don't know what you're talking about. He thought he had a lovely voice.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, though, probably
the bomb belongs to the people. The bomb belongs to the people.
Yeah.
One of you have the detonator. If you broke that movie down, it's like, okay, why don't we just find the person who has the detonator and say, hey, don't blow us up? It's like,
wait a minute.
Time out.
I think the third one's definitely, without a doubt, the weakest of the Christopher Nolan stories.
I'm just now trying to imagine these movies with their voices swapped.
That would be
a great take, right?
That would be a great take.
Where's Harvey Dent?
I'm what? I want the city need, not what the city want. The hero of the city need.
The hero of the city deserves. Yes, indeed.
So so Batman Begins is considered a remake?
I mean, the same story that you've got in a previous that's Batman movie.
A re-envisioning of it, a more serious take. The only thing I would say too that kind of stinks about this is kind of like where DC kind of went the dark path with all their movies. I think it started because of the success of these films, and they kind of,
Go figure, when you have a character that is darker than the rest of your universe and you put it out there, you get a dark movie.
Yeah,
exactly. And then if you try to make every other movie like that.
Using that formula, But yeah, Batman Begins. Other than that, very good movie. Nice tonal change. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right.
Now. Time for the deuce.
It's the deuce. Number two.
The deuce.
All right. My number two movie is,
Astound us with your deuce.
Astound us with the deuce. Yes. Yeah, I know. It's several... Several months until the holiday season, but I thought I would bring Christmas a little early, even though it's not July. It's another month. We will.
It's August.
It's August. Well, I don't want people to get like, what day is it? What month are they in?
Yes. Oh.
So the time
Christmas
travel
in
thing.
August.
Christmas in August. My movie is the 1988 movie Scrooge, which is a remake or retelling of the classic story, The Christmas Carol. Scrooge stars the fabulous Bill Murray, of course. And it's about a TV exec who doesn't really like to celebrate the holidays, and he is visited by three ghosts to show him his past, his present, and possibly his future. And if he keeps going down the path that he's going on, that is not going to look very bright. So,
does he learn a valuable lesson?
He does learn a valuable lesson.
About greed?
About greed.
The corruption and the true meaning of Christmas?
Yeah, and the true meaning of Christmas. And he says, Merry Christmas to everyone and be nice. So, it is the Christmas version of Groundhog.
Ah. Oh, also has 100% more Buster Poindexter.
It does. He likes it hot. So I just like screwed up. That was
Buster Poindexter. I hardly know where you Buster.
Whoa! Why?
Anytime you can make that old joke.
Yes.
with a name, you have to.
They should have more movies with Buster Poindexter in them.
We need to look up his IMDb. Maybe he does. I don't know.
He's mostly a singer, right?
Yeah. New York Dolls. Yeah. And then he was in the Tales from the Dark Side movie. And I think his
which one
with the
Cordello of Blood. Was that with Dennis Miller?
That's Tales from the Crypt.
Tales
from the Dark Side.
You said Tales from the Dark Side. I thought Tales from the Crypt. I forgot Tales from the Dark Side existed.
Yeah, I know. The only reason why I saw it relatively.
Do you remember that TV show's like theme where they just like put a forest in a weird color and it was like, ooh, spooky. It's like
thermal. Yes, that really kind of freaked me out as a kid. Yeah, whenever I hear that music coming off.
Do you guys remember the Nightmare from Nightmare on Elm Street television show?
Yes.
That was so bloody for TV.
It was very bloody. Yeah. I remember there was this one, and what was cool though is that Robert Englund was in like every episode for just doing like the intro, doing the Crypt Keeper part.
I think actually there's like two episodes where it was actually a Freddy episode.
The first one, I believe, was a Freddy episode.
Yeah.
But I remember there was one about...
They pull you in like you're Johnny Depp.
Yes. I remember there was one episode where there was about liposuction or something like that, and Freddy has this thing when he's just, like, taking fat off of people with it. Like in the, the transitional period from, you know.
80s is a weird time.
It is. It is a weird time. Yeah.
I mean, you have a movie villain that people adored.
Yes.
That was pretty much
the most horrible person ever.
Just a child molester.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Weird.
It was weird.
But he cracked jokes, so it was okay.
Yeah. And now dead silence.
Now dead silence.
Right.
That's probably why the remake didn't do as well.
Well, yeah.
Because
yeah,
when you go straight to the full-on, you know, when you focus on that.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's, you know.
No, you mean the whole of him being a child?
Yeah.
Molester?
Yeah. Because they really kind of focused on that strongly, I think, in the remake.
Well, maybe they were trying to actually make him a villain that people wouldn't cheer for.
That could be. That could be. Yeah. Yeah.
The 80s is weird. It's the weird. Murderers would eventually, the villain of the first movie would eventually become the people
would cheer for
them later.
Yeah. I mean, because there were like, you know, I'm sure there's like Freddy Krueger, Pez dispensers.
Or, yeah.
You know, and
just like Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they did the same thing with Jason.
Yeah.
They
did. Probably.
I mean, everybody looked forward to, oh, how is he going to kill the next one?
Yeah. Yeah. How creative can they get with the deaths? Yeah, that is a pretty dark period of time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I like that the new Halloween movie is going to just pretend that none of the other Halloween movies
existed.
It's creating, there's like, one of my friends on Facebook actually did the math, and it's created that there's like four different Halloween alternate universes, depending on which movies you watch and take as canon. Like, ignoring Season of the Witch, but like H2O pretends that nothing existed but Halloween 1 and 2. And so.
Which I'm not looking, I don't have any really, I'm not looking forward to this new Halloween.
I am, just based on the writing.
Yeah, I'm curious as to see what they do with it. That's what I want to see, like the direction that they go.
Yeah.
The person who wrote is a really big fan of the first one. Once it, and it got John Carpenter's blessing. And I didn't have anything against the Rob Zombie one, but it wasn't for me, I don't think.
I know a few people who would rather watch Halloween Resurrection than Halloween H2O.
Which one's Halloween Resurrection?
That's with Busta Rhymes, where they go to Michael Myers' house and they have like a streaming, they have people stay in Michael Myers' house and it's streaming live on the internet, and Michael Myers, he is alive and he kills Jamie Lee Curtis' character and goes back to his house and it's a killing spree. And
that's a hard time for me buying all of the stuff in the age of cell phones. Cell phones have really ruined horror movies.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of horror movies that would end just with the SWAT team now. Like Halloween. Holy crap. This person's been knifed to the wall. Police?
Well, I think Scream with like all four Scream kind of deal with that, really. I mean, well, I think basically from Scream 3 and 4, like, oh, now we're using cell phones, technology. I think they kind of...
Or even caller ID.
Caller ID. They kind of... Because
the first one kind of, like, pretended caller ID didn't exist.
Right.
But then, like, then they kind of, I think, addressed that.
Yes.
In at least the second one.
Two.
Yeah.
But it was, at that point, still an expanding technology.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Like, now everybody has a cell phone.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
true. Yeah, yeah.
So, I think...
You have to, when you're doing a horror movie, you have to come up with a reason why their cell phone won't work. Blair Witch Project. You can't just tell me they just randomly don't get any service just because they're a little bit in the woods. I mean,
It's supernatural.
Yeah.
Oh, the ancient witch with the secret power to cause your radio waves not to go to the
sun. That's right. Oh.
Well, I had Scrooge.
Scrooge. And while we were talking, too, I looked up to see the movie that Tales from the Dark Side of the Movie.
Wait, hold on a second. How did we get from Buster Poindexter to the Halloween movies? I have no recollection whatsoever.
Yeah, how we made the transition.
I'm really tired, so I have no idea. Oh,
we went from Tales from the Dark Side, mm-hmm. Nightmare on Elm Street TV series.
Remakes.
Talking about how weird and creepy the 80s were.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
the Halloween.
And then Scrooge. Remakes.
Yeah, then Scrooge, yeah. Yeah.
Back to Tales from the Dark Side?
Yes. Oh, the segment with him was called Cat from Hell. And if I remember correctly, there is a cat that jumps inside of his mouth and crawls into his belly.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Get in my belly!
Get in my belly!
I cannot think of a single New York Doll song right now.
That fits that. That
fits that where I can make a stupid joke.
Yeah. So I saw the New York Dolls.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Did they see you?
In New York City. I saw them. Yeah. I went to a special
where else
movie.
Did you see
I know. Where? That's true. That's the place to go. Yeah, they were doing like a special reunion tour. It was them and a number of other bands. But yeah, it was kind of fun.
All right.
All right, my deuce.
Your deuce.
We'll be quick.
A quick deuce.
1939.
An old deuce.
Can anyone guess? Anyone?
1939. Let me think. What was going on in 1939?
Frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a crap.
Yeah. No?
No.
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz.
Oh, that's okay. A good one.
Yes. Remake of three silent movies.
Three, you say.
Not one.
Three.
Not two, but three. Silent movies, all based on the tale from Frank L. Baum. My childhood first introduction to the supernatural was A Deathly Fear of Witches at the age of three. Mm. Because of that movie. But I still watched it all the time.
Remake. I always liked the Tin Man.
What? I don't even know how to take that now.
I was trying to do a Christmas story type thing. I like the Tin Man.
Was that what that was?
Yeah. Because
it more just sounded like you just went full perv.
Yeah, right. I'm all like, all right,
just,
well.
You're just out of nowhere. Yeah.
I always liked the Tin Man.
Like, yeah, in his face. If you see his face, it's kind of like, dude, what? Where are you going with this, man?
I'm glad we both went to the same place.
Like, where are you going?
You remember the sequence in Christmas story that I'm referring to, right?
Yes, we remember. It was just like, yeah,
like
kind
of Wizard of Oz. I like.
You know, out of all the quotes in a Christmas story, that's not one that comes to mind.
Really? Oh man,
you
that one.
Your eye out, oh fudge!
I
like the Tin Man.
I like the Tin Man.
Ralphie.
But sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're telling me you don't like the Tin Man?
No.
Or
now he's going into the latest.
Oh my goodness.
I believe I always liked the Scarecrow best.
Really? He didn't have a weapon though. Tin Man did have a weapon.
He did.
Yeah.
He could burn you alive by catching on fire.
That's true. That is true.
Down with Dorothy.
I always liked Toto.
Yes, Toto.
You know what the crazy thing? Like I remember seeing what
the 80s band Toto.
The prequel of The Wizard of Oz. What's it called? With James Franco.
The Magnificent Oz, the Great and Powerful.
Yeah. Oh yes, yeah.
The Magnificent Seven Oz, the Great and Powerful.
And Mila Kunis,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen the movie.
End up becoming, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West.
Spoiler.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you
didn't
get
it. No.
Well,
Sam.
Yeah,
oh, come on, dude. It's been out there. You haven't seen it by now.
Yeah, it's probably been almost a decade, maybe.
Wait, so she becomes the Wicked Witch, but probably through most of the movie, you're led to believe she's going to be the good one?
No. Well, yeah.
And then she turns at the end. And it makes her some sort of sympathetic character because you've now seen her downfall.
That's true. Yes. Okay.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I got that from the trailer.
Now so I kind of want to. Yeah. Now I kind of want to see more.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, another secret. So. Okay.
You're not spoiling anything, Sam. You can tell me whatever you want about.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh no! Yeah, I just was like, she was like way hotter. That's the way which was way hotter than. Then in The Wizard of Oz, I was just like, oh, okay.
Well, that's a judgment call. Yes. We're just going to have to agree to disagree. Also, let's not forget The Wiz.
The Wiz. Which the Diana Ross and recently the play that was televised that had Queen Latifah and David Alan Grier, my kids love it. We have it on DVD, and they watch it all the time, and they can even do the dance. Can't you feel the brand new day? Yeah, they do it all. So, yes.
So, out of curiosity, because I didn't see the remake, who does David Alan Grier play?
He plays the Cowardly Lion.
That would be a good choice. Who plays the Scarecrow?
The Scarecrow, let's see. What movies do you know him in? What movies would you know him in? Because Neo plays the Tin Man. The singer, Neo, and he does a little acting. And then, what movie would you know him in? Oh... I would have to look it up.
No big deal. No. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Iconic Michael Jackson role. So, you know.
Yeah, he did a good job, but he's not Michael Jackson, of course. But he did a good job.
Speaking of kid diddlers.
Allegedly,
yes. Yes.
This is so
oh, my.
We should make a movie.
I'm a little bit concerned. We started diddlers. No. We should make a movie.
A nightmare at Neverland. Where he comes back, but not all burned, but with the fedora and the red and green sweater.
Oh my gosh.
And the surgical mask.
I can't. Elijah Kelly.
That could be a thing.
Elijah Kelly played the Scarecrow, and you would know him in such films as Lee Daniels, The Butler.
Nope.
Let's see. What other movies here you have? Yeah, I don't think you guys don't really know him. Let's see. He was in Red Tails.
George Lucas movie? About the fighter pilots?
Yes.
Oh.
That movie.
I saw part of it.
Still don't know.
Yeah, you're probably not gonna know. Other than that, anyway, all the other movies, no, you're not gonna know him in. If you haven't seen those two, then unless you've seen Hairspray, he's in Hairspray.
The John Travolta one?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Other than that, you're probably not gonna see. No. So.
All right.
Okay.
Guess we'll go on to my deuce. My deuce is from 1982. Not quite as old as your deuce, Chris.
No, my deuce goes way back.
It's way more mature deuce.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mine's petrified, almost a fossil.
Yes. This is a remake from a movie called The Thing from Another World.
Oh, I didn't think that was on your list.
The Thing? Yeah. John Carpenter's The Thing? Yes. We're going to have to make modifications.
I brought a list.
You brought a list?
Okay. I'm just going to have to change my number one, that's all.
Okay. Oh, so that was your number one. I really like this movie a lot. And Kurt Russell, Keith David, Wilford Brimley, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Diabetes.
Before he had to worry about diabetes, he had to worry about an alien life form that could mimic animals and all kinds of different things. Yeah, this is a great movie. I love it. Just the special effects is groundbreaking at the time. I still think it kind of holds up.
It still holds up.
Yeah. So
now, question: have you guys seen both The Thing and the prequel to The Thing?
Yes.
Okay.
I have not seen the prequel to The Thing.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty good.
I just decided I didn't want to.
Yeah.
Okay.
It kind of ends where the other
one begins. My question: have you ever went back and used how they determine who's real and who's not from the prequel thing to the 1982 thing? Have you ever like
with the fire and stuff?
No, with the metal. And the thing in the prequel, the most recent one, the way they determine a person is themselves is the fact that if metal, the thing can't reproduce metal.
Like earrings and stuff.
So I would watch the Kurt Russell, The Thing, and see if anyone in that movie had
some kind of earring.
Like, I went back and I could not remember if who's the guy at the end?
Keith David.
That was
Keith David and Kurt Russell.
Yeah, Keith David. Yeah. But if he had an earring in the movie, I was trying to figure out if he ever did.
Yeah, I don't think so. Okay. I can't remember.
I can't remember either. I don't think so. But it was like one of those things that I was like, I need to look back and maybe. If that can apply, I can know that both of them were human, or like it's still that whole cliffhanger.
Yeah, you can say which ones who. Yeah, yeah.
There are people who have explored that ending to try to say, well, you can't see Keith David's breath.
I've heard that too. Yeah, yeah. And if that's
the theory was that Kurt Russell was actually drinking like gasoline or turpentine or something, kerosene maybe at the end. And seeing whether or not when he drank it, because they wouldn't know the difference. There's been weird theories.
That's what I was trying to do.
Yeah. I love that movie. It's a good
movie. I do too. I like it enough to put it number one in my list.
Mine are in no specific order. I'll say that.
But it's okay. Because I already have.
Ooh.
Another number one.
Another number one.
Yeah. And you did tell me in your list.
Yeah.
Since I was preparing last minute. I, however, just somehow missed that it was your
number two.
Your deuce.
My deuce.
I refused to look straight at your deuce. Skimmed over your deuce.
Skimmed over the deuce. Yeah. No direct contact with the deuce.
No direct contact with the deuce.
You don't make eye contact with the deuce.
No. Nope.
Keep your hands to the side. Don't smile. Because
if you look at the deuce looks into you.
Yeah. Yes. When one fights deuces, one must take care that one does not become a deuce.
That, yes.
The word you stare into the deuce. The deuce also stares at you.
This podcast has become very philosophical.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to number one.
Is it Nietzsche or is it Nietzsche?
I don't know how you pronounce his name.
I never.
It's German, so Scheitzer.
Scheitzer.
Just German for a deuce.
There you go.
I did not know that.
Now you do.
Oh.
Might I introduce you into the world of shites of films. Referenced in South Park so wonderfully. And that's the only way I've ever heard of them.
Okay. All right, we're at right. Number one.
The R. Kelly Memorial. Number one.
Oh!
I haven't said that in a long time.
I know. Did it feel good?
It did. It did feel. It's been so long since I've said it that it's almost too old for R. Kelly to piss on.
Oh my!
Wow.
once in every podcast, I like to make it so Sam doesn't feel the will to go on for a moment. There it was.
There it is. All right, my number one. We're just looking for the bare necessities of life here. My number one, the remake was in 2016. The original was an animated movie in 1967. And that movie is The Jungle Book. And it had the voices of Bill Murray and...
Another Bill Murray,
oh, yeah. Man. Ben Kingsley, Idris Elba, always doing the voices with other actors and everything. And I took my kids to the drive-in to see this movie, and they really enjoyed it. This was also Christopher Walken as King Louis.
Yes, yeah. As King Louis, yes, yeah.
So...
And, you know, to be honest with you, I love Christopher Walken. It's probably my least favorite character in the
movie. Oh.
Is King Louis. I actually really, really enjoyed this movie.
I thought this movie. Ka was like, really big. That's one big python. Like,
yes, yeah.
Super big.
Thanks for noticing.
It's like, that's a pretty big snake. And the reason why it hasn't eaten Baloo or anyone else, for that matter, I mean, it was huge. So,
yeah,
I just thought the... And they're doing another Jungle Book 2. It's going to be called Mowgli. That's coming out next year.
I heard something about that. So, yeah. I wonder if they're going to have the same kid play Mowgli. I imagine it probably would.
I don't know. I think so.
Is that an actual sequel or is that an independently filmed movie?
Is it independently filmed?
They pushed back because of the release of that. I think the Mowgli is actually directed by, and I could be wrong, so it might be a different movie I'm talking about, Andy Serkis.
Oh, really?
That could be possible.
Oh.
I might be wrong, though. There is a movie about the Jungle Book that Andy Serkis is directing.
Directed,
and I think they pushed back
the release. Because I think it's finished.
Giving it some time.
Interesting. Oh yeah, I forgot Gary Shandling.
Yeah, and Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, as Ka. So, yeah.
He has an interesting voice because, you know, there's Ka, and then you also have her as the computer in Her.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, I did. I liked this remake.
I liked Her.
I did too.
Yeah. I didn't know what to make of it. It was at least entertaining enough to watch all the way through. It was different and quirky.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
But I liked the Jungle Book. It didn't have as many songs as, you know, as the 1967 one. But
I really liked Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
I thought he was pretty good.
I like
as long as it's not the main.
Yes,
Kingsley's voice of the Mandarin when he was doing the commercial.
Or
the video.
Yeah,
you will never see it. It's just weird choices, and I enjoyed that. Are we ready for my
Archive
Memorial number one?
Yes, we are.
Mine is a remake. Go figure. From 2006. A remake of a 2002 film called Infernal Affairs. My number one pick, won 4 Oscars, including Best Director, for Martin Scorsese. Little Dropkick Murphys going on over there, that is. it's The Departed.
Yes!
Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, Jack Nicholson, and begrudgingly Mark Wahlberg, who I don't really like. Martin Sheen, some of the folks, Alec Baldwin, whatnot. Just great performances all around. There is a scene in there where, you know, it's taking place inside where there is an undercover person working for the mob who's a cop. And then there's a cop who's actually undercover working for the mob, where there's a cell phone call between the two of them where, like, nothing is said for an extended period of time. It's more tense than most scenes with dialogue. So there's some great stuff. I've never actually seen a Hong Kong movie that it's a remake of.
No.
So I don't know. A lot of people said they preferred the original. But having not seen that, I really like the remake.
Yeah. I've only seen the remake as well, and yes. I enjoyed it. That's a good movie. Good movie. Yes. All right. Okay. I guess we'll go on to my number one. This number one is, you guessed it, also a remake. And it has 100% more Jeff Goldblum in it than the previous.
Mm.
Which, as we, you know, come to realize, probably anything that has more Jeff Goldblum in it is just typically better.
Yeah.
So,
dash of Gina Davis.
Yes, yeah, that's right. It does. It has a dash of Gina Davis. The movie I'm talking about is David Cronenberg's
Maggot Birth.
Yes, the Maggot Birth, the movie, The Fly. Yes, the original one had Vincent Price in it, and I love Vincent Price also, but this is just a but this one's like, there's lots of awesome special effects, I think, in this movie, and it's just, you know, him eating the Oreo cookie or whatever.
Yeah,
I think that, like, barfing on it.
Cronenberg.
Yeah. So, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One could look at that very much as a 1980s the deterioration of a human being. Some have paralleled that to a statement on the AIDS crisis in the 80s as it was coming out.
Yeah, that would be right around that same time.
Looking in the mirror and not recognizing the person in front of you as your body begins to fail you, type thing. Whether or not that was intended, who knows? But
yeah. Or maybe we just kind of in the.
Yeah. You know, but Cronenberg always did weird things.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
But his nails and teeth coming out and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
The part where you regurgitate on that guy's leg.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then that guy shows up the second one.
From the fly.
Yeah.
Who was the star of the second one? Is that it?
Let's find out. Eric Stoltz? It might be.
You know why?
It is Eric Stoltz.
You know why the sequel to the original with Vincent Price is better than the sequel with Eric Stoltz?
Why is that?
Because the sequel to the original Vincent Price has a song made of it by the Misfits.
Oh yes,
and it is an absolute lyrically genius song, where the lyrics are at the beginning, return of the fly with Vincent Price. Yeah, return of the fly.
I actually, now that you said the lyrics, I remember that song. Yeah. Actually, yeah, that is awesome.
Human hands and feet. It's so weird. Like, there's hardly any lyrics that aren't Return of the Fly, and the ones that are weird.
I like The Fly too, also. It's definitely not as good as the first one, but
it didn't look anything like the maggot I expected.
Yeah, no.
Remember, kids, follow your dreams.
That's right. Follow your dreams.
Follow your dreams.
Now I want to make a movie called Maggot Birth.
You can do it. The Brundle Fly. All right. Well, I guess. Do we have anything else we'd like to add?
Nothing to do.
All right. I think we've got a nice list here
that
we put together. So we want to thank you for listening.
Check us out on all of our social medias at allmanshoes.com on Facebook and the Twitter. And
that's it.
Yeah, download the podcast. Well, you should already be doing that if you're listening to this, probably.
Yeah.
I'm thinking
that you can download old podcasts.
You can download old podcasts
on iTunes or Google Play or other other streams.
Taskbox.
Yes. You can, you know, you can even get it. I found this out the other day that if you have an Amazon Alexa and you say, play the All of My Issues podcast, boom, it will play it for you.
Nice.
So
that's how we roll.
So there you go. So do that.
Do that. That'll be awesome.
Check it out.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening.
See ya.
Bye.